want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to the Refresh radio program. Welcome to the month of May, and may the blessing of God be very real in your life. I'm really tempted right now. Paul and I were just having a conversation, and I'm really trying not to crack a joke that he just doesn't really care for that much. So, may the blessings of God be upon you. May his blessings be upon you and your coming and your going. And I pray that you would experience a glorious, glorious month of May. So today we want to thank the folks at Jits Concrete, 321-536-5804, for their blessings to the community of Brevard as we bring the Refresh radio program to you here. They do great work with concrete and block. They specialize primarily in concrete. So if you need a foundation poured, if you need a slab poured of any nature, sidewalks redone, maybe you need to replace something and you got to tear into your driveway to do that, give them a call, 321-536-5804. They'll put their decades of experience, their expertise with the materials, their hard work ethic, and their network of connections to work for you on your job, which will get you the best finished product that you can have at an affordable price, and it is going to provide you the foundation that you need for a wonderful, wonderful product. So give them a call. Tell them you heard about them on the Refresh radio program, 321-536-5804. So pray that you had a great weekend worshiping God. If you did not make it out to the house of God, I pray that you will plan on being there this coming week. This coming Sunday will be Mother's Day, and that's always a great thing. And so moms, if you're out there and your kids are saying, what do you want for Mother's Day, tell them, hey, would you mind going to church with me? I would really like for you to go to church with me for Mother's Day. You say, well, that's just kind of corny. Why would anybody want to do that? Well, your family having a relationship with Jesus is the most important gift that they could ever have. And some of the people that I know who are walking with God now, that one of the reasons I got to meet them was because their family member asked them to come to church on a very special day. They said, I just really like you to come to church with me. And, I guarantee you that if you go to a Bible preaching church, that there's going to be a seed that is going to be sown that may be a transformative moment in their life, either then or in the future. So step out of your comfort zone just a little bit and say, hey, let's go to church and then we'll celebrate. So we don't have a Sunday night service on Mother's Day Sunday so that everybody can honor the women in their life. And so that's coming up this week. We're going to go back to Isaiah chapter 45. We're working our way through this entire passage. We're talking about spiritual truths from God's word, and we're going to get there. There's three different spiritual truths that I want to communicate, but we're not getting there yet. Because there's so much other great truth in this particular passage. The more I read this passage, the more repetition that I saw to it. So the concept of the lordship of Jesus, or the lordship of the Hebrew God Yahweh, Jesus as well in the New Testament, is repeated over and over again. So the word Lord is in verse number 1. The word Lord is in verse number 3. It's in verse number 5. It is in verse number 6. It is in verse number 7. It is in verse number 8. It is in a whole bunch of verses. Verse 11, verse 13, verse 14. I think God wants you to know He's the Lord. He's the self-existent one. I think He wants me to know that as well. One of those repetitions that we're going to be talking about today is not something you're going to hear many sermon series about. There's a word that's used twice. It actually has three different applications in this particular passage. And so we're going to look at those, and it has to do with the word woe. And so you might think as woe is me. And so this is the opposite of blessing. This is the person who is doing these things finds themselves in a lamentable condition as far as God is concerned. This is not the path to great blessing or to great peace. This would be the course of action you would take if you wanted more misery in your life. So I'm going to read verses 9 through 13. Verses 9 through 13, it says, "Woe to him who strives with his maker. Let the potsherd strive with the potsherd of the earth. Shall the clay say to him who forms it, 'What are you making?' Or shall your handiwork say, 'He has no hands'? Woe to him who says to his father, 'What are you begetting?' Or to the woman, 'What have you brought forth?' Thus says the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, and his maker, ask me of things to come concerning my sons and concerning the work of my hands. You command me. I have made the earth and created man on it. I, my hand, stretched out the heavens and all their host. I have commanded. I have raised him up in righteousness. I will direct all his ways. He shall build my city and let my exiles go free, not for the price nor reward, says the Lord of hosts." So we're going to look at the word woe. And it's in verse number 9, "Woe to him who strives with his maker." It's also in verse number 10, "Woe to him who says to his father, 'What are you begetting?' Or to the woman, 'What have you brought forth?'" So again, this is the word of God, Isaiah chapter 45, verses 9 and 10. This is the word of God from God to Cyrus. And it really talks about the attitude that we've got to have between ourselves and God. The first woe that it says here is, "Woe to him who strives with his maker." Woe to him who strives with his maker. Putting yourself in a hostile environment where you are contending or striving against, fighting against God, is a lamentable condition. You don't ever want to find yourself fighting against God. Okay, here God is referred to as his maker. In other words, he is Cyrus's maker. So in verse number 11, it says, "Thus says the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, and his," that is a low H, just the same way it is his here in verse number 9. It's a capital M for maker. So that's the second time we see the word maker. It's talking about Cyrus, I'm the one who made you. Don't strive with me. Don't fight with me. I've been told I've never been a good enough swimmer to ever be or to even consider being a lifeguard. But I have been told that if a lifeguard was going out to rescue somebody and the person was fighting their rescuer, that the rescuer would distance themselves until that person was so tired that they couldn't fight the person that was trying to save their life anymore. There may be people who are listening to the sound of my voice right now, and you thought God was the enemy. You didn't realize he was actually the one who had come to rescue you, to save you from certain death. Not only that, He's your maker. He made you. You are not mass produced. You are individually crafted as a masterpiece of God. And God wants you to know him. God wants you to experience the fullness of what he has for you in being the temple of the Holy Spirit. So it's amazing to me the number of people that surrender to the enemy and yet they fight against God, when the exact opposite is what we need to be doing, where we are submitted to God and we resist the devil. Okay? So if you find yourself fighting against God today, take a step back and say, why am I doing this? You know, America has a really bad habit. It's probably a global habit as well. But we have a really bad habit of bossing God around until something beyond the scope of our control happens. And then all of a sudden we shift to blaming God for what went on. There's a passage where God says, "You thought I was altogether like you. You know, and here's the point. You were wrong. I'm not. I want to make you like me." That God wants to make us like him. He's not going to change himself to fit our narrative. Okay? Peter at one point in time said, "Not so, Lord." That's a problem. Peter, I think that same passage, it said that he took Jesus aside and began to rebuke him. That will set you up for a failure. So the first thing that you can do if you want to find yourself in a lamentable condition is start fighting against God. Now, if you say, "I got enough misery in my life, I don't need any more misery," then I encourage you to stop fighting against God and start surrendering to God and working with God for him to bring his plan into your life. So the emphasis was here on the maker. And so a little later in verse number 9, it says, "Shall the clay say to him who forms it, 'What are you making? What are you making?'" I've told the story before. I was out working on a car one time and discovered that I did not have the skill set at that point in time to restore a very deteriorated 1968 Mustang. And my wife opened the door to the kitchen and she was cooking something. And I said, "What in the world is that smell?" And it was a dish she loves. She was making chicken curry. Bob does not like chicken curry. Can eat it. Doesn't like it. Doesn't like the smell of it. And I was like, "What in the world are you making?" And she said, "Chicken curry." And I said, "Let's not make that anymore." That probably wasn't the best timing for that conversation. Anyway, people have a lot of audacity in asking God, why'd you make me this way? What are you doing in my life? This looks like just a mass of chaos. There doesn't seem to be any order in it. Well, I want you to know that if you look at the ingredients of a cake, that if you isolate those ingredients and just look at them, nobody's going to reach over and just grab a handful of flour and put it right in their mouth. That'll make you gag. You're going to have a coughing fit. Nobody that I know, I know that Sylvester Stallone did it in Rocky. Nobody I know is going over and cracking a raw egg and just putting it in their mouth. It doesn't have the same appeal. It doesn't have the same taste. If you put all of the ingredients of a glorious chocolate cake with frosting on it, if you isolate the elements, they're not all good. I mean, nobody's grabbing a stick of butter and saying, "Boy, let's have some butter." No, nobody I know is saying that. But But if you take those ingredients and you put them together and you allow time and the transformative process of heat to work in that situation, all of a sudden you say, my taste buds are happier than they have been in a long, long time. So if you don't understand what's going on, you can always go to prayer. Just don't question God's capability. The second question that is asked here in verse number 9 is, shall your handiwork say he has no hands? There are too many people who were masterpieces of God who are looking at God and saying, you are impotent to be able to do anything in my life. You cannot make anything good out of this situation. I want you to know that that does not line up with the Word of God. The Word of God says that God can turn the devil's curse into a blessing. The devil wants to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to devastate your life. He wants to make a mess out of your life. But even in all of those fiery darts that he launches your way, God can raise the shield of faith in your hand, and all of a sudden, you can find that he is turning that attack into a blessing and your problem into a testimony and your mess into a message. But too many people say, God is powerless to work in my situation. I want you to understand that's not the case. There are things that are worshipped around the globe that have no ears to hear, no eyes to see, no mouth to speak, no hands to touch, and no feet to run to your rescue. Those are called idols. But there's a God who we worship, who knows what you have need of before you ask. He's got his eye upon you. He's listening to your cry. He is speaking words that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. He's got hands that are reaching out to you, and he's got feet that are running to bring you deliverance. That's the God that you serve. Okay? Let's look at the next lamentable condition. We're in Isaiah chapter 45, verse number 10, where it says, woe to him who says to his father, what are you begetting? Okay? So this would be Cyrus, and he would find himself questioning his father. Now, the Bible says, honor your father and mother. He says, what are you doing? What are you doing? So in verse number 9, we find that the person was striving with the person who made him. Now, Isaiah says prophetically, you shouldn't be having generational strife. And that's what we see. We see it on the male side and the female side. What are you beginning? I am greatly, greatly disturbed spiritually by the attack on children that is taking place in America. I've read my Bible enough to know that when the children of Israel made their kids pass through the fires as they worshiped Molech, that was a step that brought about the judgment of God. We're looking at, you know, basically 5 decades of legalized assault on unborn children. You say, it can't get much worse than that. Oh, yes, it can. Because there are states that are now considering not only pre-birth murder of unborn children, but a window of opportunity after the child is born where the parents could terminate. And let me tell you what the Bible calls that. Murder. Murder. It's we've been blessed with three grandchildren. We got another one that's on the way. We recently saw ultrasound pictures, and not only could you see head, eyes, nose, feet, hands, other you know, distinctions of human anatomy, you could see similarities that that unborn grandchild of ours has with what's going to be their siblings. You could see, I mean, you could see the handiwork of God. Now, I don't know what God is going to do through that child or through the other grandchildren, but here's what I'm praying. I'm praying that God uses them to reach their community more effectively than what I've been able to be used by God to minister to my community. But I pray I set that bar very high. I pray that their parents set the bar even higher. I pray that the grandchildren end up walking in a greater anointing than what I've ever walked or my wife's ever walked. And she didn't, you know, I told you on one of last week's programs, I didn't come from a preacher's family. She didn't come from a preacher's family. Neither one of us fit the prototype model of what a pastor and his wife should look like. There were people that said, nope, you don't fit the mold. Therefore, you are useless and will never amount to anything in the ministry, except for they weren't the ones who made us. So even though they might not have understood what God was doing, maybe we didn't understand what God was doing. We didn't position ourselves in opposition and saying, nope, it looks like you're making a mess instead of a masterpiece. Woe to the person who asks to the woman, what have you brought forth? Okay, so there's one who's striving with his maker, who's always fighting against God. There's one who's fighting with his father. Look, you made a mistake. Here, the question to the woman is, what have you brought forth? I want to encourage you to be very careful when you are examining fruitfulness, okay? If you were a Wall Street firm, you would examine fruitfulness and what is it doing for the bottom line? How much profit are you making? Somebody asked a question, why are the car companies in business? And someone said, to make cars. Nope, that's not correct. The car companies are in business to make money. They make cars in order to make money. Okay? So if you were to examine the fruitfulness of that company, it would be, is it making money or is it not making money? So if you were to examine churches, you might say, well, we're going to examine this church by this metric. You know, how many people are attending? Well, I can tell you this. You can get a large crowd to go to a concert, but that doesn't necessarily make it a church. So we're not going to be able to use the world's metrics of examination to determine what is spiritual fruit in the kingdom of God. So I will tell you this. I believe that the house of God is meant to be called a house of prayer. It's supposed to be a house of prayer for all nations. So one of the metrics that we should examine and what are we bringing forth is how much communication is there with God. I will tell you this, our Sunday night services, we changed what we were doing back in March and April, and switch to a word and prayer where we're saying, okay, this is what we're going to be praying for, and you come and say, what is God quickening to you about this? And, man, our Sunday night services, there was a lot more increase in participation. We pray for everybody on Sunday nights. Everybody gets prayed for. So that's a metric. There needs to be the metric of, Are people getting saved? Are they giving their heart to Jesus? Because we are supposed to be a spiritual hospital, and part of a hospital is the nursery where people are giving, or the maternity ward, where babies are being born. Okay? It's not just about caretaking for the saints, it's about seeing transformed lives. So because we're a spiritual hospital, there should be signs and wonders. There should be people who are growing in the word. There should be people who are becoming disciples. Jesus did not call us to make converts. He called us to make disciples. Now, disciples are converted, but that's the launching pad. It's not the stop sign. So, this lamentable condition, what are you begetting? What are you making? That's one thing. What are you bringing forth? And so if you are dealing with spiritual metrics with God and people are looking at you and saying, well, there's nothing happening here, then you just step back and say, well, there is something happening. You're just using the wrong metric system. I'll give you an example. One year, our attendance dropped significantly. We had a family that had started coming back to church. The mother gave her heart to the Lord. She had been a Christian, and she gave her heart to Jesus again. She repented of her sins and became very active in her faith. And she brought her kids with her, and the kids gave their heart to Jesus. And they were attending regularly, and they were growing in their faith. But the husband, nice guy, great guy, but he had not given his heart to Jesus until he finally did. And so now, all of a sudden, we've got a mom, a dad, and their children who are faithfully attending. They're growing in their faith like crazy, and he got transferred to a different state. And so our attendance went down, our offerings went down, and if you were looking at the natural metrics, you would say, the church really didn't accomplish anything. Well, actually, the kingdom of God grew. The blessing of the seeds that we sowed ended up being reaped by another church in another state. And so if I had looked at just the natural metrics, I would have been very discouraged, very depressed. But instead, I looked at it and say, praise God. The kingdom of God is now firmly established in another family, and they are being divinely placed by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and they're going to bring forth glorious fruit. Don't fight with God. Don't fight with what he's making you, and produce fruit that he will be pleased with. We'll see you tomorrow right here on the Refresh Radio
Thank you
program.
For tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Glory bore my shame.